Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. Certainly was good to be here already this morning. Been blessed in my heart and soul, and hopefully in my head and whatever else Glenny was explaining there this morning. That's a challenging thought. I'd like to start off with a verse. I will start saying the verse, and then you need to stand up. And you tell me where it's found, and then you must finish the verse. You ready? And probably even some younger ones can answer this. Don't be embarrassed. Joyce, you don't count. No. On your toes. Blessed is the man. Glenny, you probably shouldn't stand up either. You have an insight on this too. Blessed is the man that...
Walketh.
Yes. Okay, what's that?
Psalm 1:1.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, thank you. You can turn to Psalm 1 this morning. As we look at a psalm that's... maybe is considered one of the first psalms that we memorized with Psalm 23. One of the things that's outlined here for adults and many things for children and easy to memorize, but one of the things that's a challenge to me, and I've said it before, that I enjoy looking at the Bible in contrasts. And here in this scripture, there are 6 verses. 3 are on the one side and 3 on the other side. There's 3 about the godly man and 3 about the ungodly person. And so what the title of the sermon basically is, choice. Choice is a gift from God. And so in this psalm, we have a choice. And it's very simple. And we have a choice to follow God's way or our own way. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, we hear the words about a broad way that leadeth to destruction or a narrow way that leads to everlasting life. The same as it is here. It's kind of a Old Testament phrase or posing of that same thought. And so we have contrasts. And Can you just look down over there and maybe find a contrast for us this morning? I already kind of gave one. It talks about ungodly and godly, right? That's in here, the man that enjoys studying the laws and meditating on it day and night. That's the godly and the ungodly. That's a contrast. Any other contrasts in here? Okay. Definitely that's 2 positions, and that's a contrast. Okay, that's not quite where I was going. But no, that's fine. It's a contrast. What? Tree? Yes. The tree and the chaff. Wither and prosper.
Day and night.
Day and night is in there. And those are just little simple nuggets that we can glean from this passage of Scripture. And I would like to start off then with this first word that's intriguing to me is the word blessed or blessed. Blessed is in a plural form if you look in your Bible dictionary or your key study word Bible places. It's talking about a plural form of the word blessed. In other words, I will bless you if you wash my car this week. That would be a blessing that I would give you, right? Or whatever. But this is in the plural form. This comes from God. And so when we look at this scripture, let's look at it the next time, as my challenge, the next time you think about or read Psalm 1:1 or quote it, think about it in the plural form. Blessed is the man. And so in one way you could read it is, oh, how exceedingly happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's that continued blessing. It's the joy. And the other phrase is, oh, how deep is the joy. Happy, we kind of frown away from that because of some of the ways happy is used. But think about it maybe then, if you don't like the word happy, think about the word, how deep the joy is of the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Does that add anything to the introduction to this simple song? There's a promise here, and there's a, well, there's conditions given too if you want to go that route, but there's a promise here about an exceedingly deep satisfaction for the person that's going to walk in the ways of God, that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And so as we go down through there, maybe that should be our first thought. A choice we have to make then, which side we want to be on or which ways do we want to follow. As we look down over here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the other side is, the ungodly are not so. That's the choice we need to, the gift of choice that God has given human beings. We can choose the first three verses and receive that blessing and that deep satisfaction. Or the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This blessedness that's outlined in the first three verses is, I would like for us to have it, allow it to penetrate or to even to feel, if you will, the deep joy and satisfaction that this is outlining for us. And then hopefully we can get a little bit of the contrast, which the contrast is very short for me here this morning. But here, let's also realize that as a righteous person, a blessed person that is walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, he realizes the value of not doing some things. There's some things outlined here that we don't do. And we live in a world that likes to talk about positive things. This is how you do life. The concern for the psalmist here in the very first psalm is there's things that man as a righteous person does not do. We consider this from God, inspired word of God. This is not my dream that I had last night that we should not do this. But rather it's a command from God. And so when we look at that, I hope we can get a little bit of the grasp of the blessedness that's in here if we don't do some of these things. Maybe not popular to think that, but it's from God. It's don't do these things. And so as we mature as Christians, I hope we can get the idea and the thought or the benefit of the satisfaction of not doing some things. And so here it gives us this walking and sitting, standing and sitting, these three positions here. In the very first verse, we see walking out in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinner, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. The ungodly persons that's outlined here, the very first, that we walk not in the counsel or the advice. We don't walk in the advice of the ungodly. The ungodly person here may be a person that we meet on the street in our co-workers that are very moral people and actually nice people to work with and be around. Ungodly people, there's three different types of people that are also outlined here. And the first one is the ungodly. But he has no serious regard for God. He has no serious regard for God's ways or his commandments. His focus is basically on empty things. We know people like that. They're good people. I enjoy talking, driving truck with lots of guys. But they're not concerned, or they don't have any interest necessarily in going into anything spiritual or anything godly. Still good people. They're ungodly, if you will. And you can see them, mark them sometimes by the words they say, or the fruit they produce, or the interest they have. What is their interest? A lot of people that I talk to talk about sports. Then there's the newer group of people talks about all the things on social media. And the older people talk about bank accounts and acquiring things. And you can tell where their heart is or where their passions are by what they say or the fruits that they produce. They're talking about earthy things. Earthly things or earthy things that kind of give you the picture of who they are. They're ungodly. No interest in God, or no interest in you explaining, even mentioning about God. They don't want to. They're nice people. They have no time for God. And what it's saying here is that we are not to walk in that advice. In other words, when we're around them enough, they will influence us. And we are given the instructions here to be very careful. It's not considered to be wise when we're walking in that counsel. Kind of simple, but at the same time, it causes us some tension. Each one of these groups of people causes me tension as I studied this, because we are to minister to their needs, right? We're to talk to God about to these people. So the only way you can talk to those people is by being beside them or communicating with them one way or another. And so comfort that I get is an idea that Harold Martin put in his commentary on this psalm, is the fact that what he really means here, what the writer's really saying, what he's giving us warning not to walk, sit, or stand or sit with these different groups of people, is the question that I think he poses there. Is this very simple question that we can ask ourselves? Are we getting a satisfaction from being with those people? To me, that just kind of, I can ask myself the same question. When I'm thinking of this kind of a tension here of how to minister to somebody without walking in their ways or walking beside them, am I getting a satisfaction from those people? And the other way that I say sometimes, who are you having the most fun with? Are these the people you're having the most fun with? The ungodly that are listed here. Well, I thank God that we have a choice. And this is the choice. Are we going to walk in their ways or not? We are told not to do this. Then it goes on, we're not to stand in the way of the sinners. The sinners is a different group of people. There are those that rebel against God, and probably we could say they're happy in doing it. They're proud of being against God. They're boastful against it. habitually transgressing God's laws or God's ways. We know those people. They need God too, and so we work beside those people. And yet, am I having satisfaction with it? And so, we can kind of—that's kind of how I would measure this. These people don't really have any need for God anywhere, and we need to choose how much time to spend with these people as in close fellowship. Again, we want to spend time with them, and yet it's not where we find our satisfaction. The third group, then, is this group that talks about being scornful. And we're not to sit with the scornful. These are scoffers, the arrogant people that are out there. It kind of goes this kind of a downward steps here, or spiral kind of, in these three different groups of people. They're scoffers. They make fun of God, fun of their ways. They quarrel and mock against goodness and God. They ridicule God. They sneer at God. And we know those people too. And they're kind of easy to find, it seems. And so, when we talk about the instructions here then, that we're not to be with these people that sit, we're not to sit with the scornful, it implies the idea of identification and having fun with them, if you want to add that to it. We're not to agree with their point of view. Most of you know some about me, and I don't really care for controversy. And so my problem when I read this about these scorners, about into what comes into my heart is, okay, so I don't agree at all with some of the statements that some people make when they make fun of God. And they're scornful, and it hurts, and it's bad. But I don't really always speak up and say, you know, the right way of thinking about things. And so that's just kind of way of my looking at this. The other thing is we have, when we think of the scornful, one of the big things that goes on in our world today is that I think fits very well in this setting here, in our warning here not to sit with these people, is the idea of us boys or girls going off to Bible school somewhere. And we must choose. We have a choice to make where you go to school. If you want to continue college and Bible school or whatever. There is Bible schools where teachers are introducing doubt in your life as you go there about the incarnation of Christ and the basic fundamentals of Christianity. Those people, and I think I don't have to go on to explain and not give any names of colleges. It's just that there is a lot of colleges that are called Christian that are bringing in doubt into people's lives about some of the things that are solid fundamental Christian values that can't, if you don't believe them, you're not really a Christian. And it's being taught and brought forth. Those are scorners. Those fit in the scorner bracket. And we're not to sit there. I think you need to choose where you're going to go to college. You need to choose when you go to Bible school. Is a teacher, a preacher at a Bible school going to teach you some things that are making you doubt and not building you up in the Christian faith? That's a scorner. You're not to sit in their classes. I think that's what it means. Some of what it means. Do not sit there. We're not going to take it in. Well, we notice the downhill setting here in these very first verse. There's a casual association with the ungodly that we talk about here in the beginning, and a continued fellowship with the sinful people, and a feeling of being quite at home with those who mock God. And so it's a progression that we're given a warning to notice, and we have it here in the scripture, and so let's consider it important. In a nutshell, The first verse is not to follow the advice of the ungodly. It's that simple. We don't follow that advice. We don't share the life of those, and we don't adopt the attitudes of the scoffer. The next verse, then, switches the thoughts to a positive side, and I would like to think that we could spend a little more time here. The idea is that the righteous person is described as going to God for advice. Not too profound. I think we all here sit here and agree that we don't want to follow verse 1. We don't want any part of that. But the Bible does not stop there, and it gives us this verse 2. It says, but his delight, this is this righteous person that we're talking about that is blessed in a deep way when he doesn't do those things. But what he is doing is his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. The delight is in God's word. He's Bible fed and Bible led, if you will. And it's something about this meditating and taking this in and absorbing it, saturating our minds, soaking in it, and just like a sponge. I wasn't quite daring enough, but I really wanted to bring a sponge here when it's full of water and throw it out here at you somewhere. And I refrained. But that's the idea. This man that is delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating day and night is the one that is soaked up, if you will, in the Word of God. I don't know how your children do, but it seems like children go through some kind of age timing, of age bracket where they don't want to take a bath. Not necessary. Why? And then you get to the point where they should actually take a bath, and they should actually be old enough to do a shower or bath by themselves. And they come out of the shower in about 30 seconds. And you say, what did you do in there? And their hair's not even wet. We have girls with long, thick hair, and they come out, it's not even wet. And the girls even decided there for a couple of years, or times anyway, that it's not necessary to shower. That's beside the point. And you reach in underneath their hair, and it's dry. And so this morning, when I think of that, this person is actually soaking, dripping wet with the Word of God. He meditates on it and absorbs it so that he is filled with the Word of God. In the New Testament, we have this verse that talks about don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Kind of the same thought. The person that's drunk with wine is consumed, and he is not doing things the normal way. He does things that are not coordinated, and he is influenced by that alcohol. It has overtaken him. And he responds in different ways. He talks different and laughs different and makes decisions differently when he's under the influence. And so when we have a person here that is wonderfully delighted into being saturated with the Word of God, that's also going to influence us. And so when we want to prepare for life in all ages and stages of life, the way to do God's life God's way is to be saturated in His Word. It will influence our decisions just like it would if you were being filled with wine. It influences you for the wrong. And so we can make better decisions. We can be better prepared for tragedy. We're better prepared for whatever happens in our circumstances in life when we are filled with this Word of God. The other verse that comes to mind is the verse that talks about out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's because of being saturated. Day and night he is delighted to do God's will and way. The challenge sometimes is how do we How do we have enough of time or set enough of time aside to really get saturated? You know, that's every age group, every person that we talk to over the years has always been the challenge the same way. You don't live in any different time period than anybody else did. It's not any harder for you than it was for Grandpa. But we sometime, if we want to claim to be filled and saturated, then somewhere along the line we need to spend time in the Word. It's not just going to happen. If we want to have rivers of water, living water flowing out of our belly, it's got to come from God. And that takes discipline and time and sometimes a struggle. But that's what this says. If we want to have the right judgments and even how to handle verse 1 and those tensions that I outlined there about being with people, ministering to people, and not getting influenced by them, how are you going to know how to do life? How are you going to know where the lines are except you're saturated in the Word of God? And so it's a challenge for all of us. This goes on. It says here that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Just some very simple practical things in this verse here is the whole idea of a tree that's planted. This is not a wild tree that just grew up beside the river. This is a picture of a tree that's planted and cared for and nourished. Maybe cables are put on it to keep it straight. And it's a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. It's a tree that actually is going to the water for life and sustenance. And so when we as Christian people go to God's water, the Bible, for our sustenance, we will bring forth fruit. The fruit will be identifiable. It's not going to be withered in a little bit of dry spell because it's saturated in the Word of God. It's planted by the rivers of water. And in his leaf also shall not wither. When we have dry seasons around here, we don't have corn that shrivels up necessarily like some agricultural areas do. But I remember about 2004, 2005, that was very dry around here. And we had trees in June and July that, or maybe more like August, that the leaves actually withered. And, you know, when you think of a tree, he's got roots down there to where the nourishment is, and he can handle a lot of fluctuation in rainfall. It doesn't really affect that tree. But when it gets that dry, like it was that year, those leaves turned brown prematurely. There was no nutrition there for him to survive. And so let's realize that this person that is talking about and outlining here, when he is planted by the river of living water, his leaf will not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I believe that's a promise for a New Testament. Maybe not the same type of promise. I think we just talked about that the other Sunday. Maybe not the same type of promise as far as financially or whatever. But the prosperity is our spiritual fruit will prosper. There's something given here that I think is a law from God, from Old to New Testament, just the same. The spiritual productivity that's given to you and I because of us and our interest in God's Word is for real. And if we're going to be lukewarm and not caring and not connected or not connected to that river of water, it will wither. The fruit will wither and our leaves will wither. That's our choice. So let's remain faithful to God's Word in all circumstances and all things of life. Spiritual productivity is promised. So in summary here, the the way to be truly blessed or to have that deep joy that we talk about and that deep satisfaction is simply to listen to, not to listen to the ungodly, not to linger with the sinners, not to laugh at holy things, not be a scoffer, but rather let the Word of God capture our full attention. The whole idea of being filled with the Spirit. God's Word is perfect and sure. There's no shortcomings when we read the Bible, and we're always filled when we take the Bible in, because it is right and it's pure. Meditate on it day and night. Let's let God's Word be our roadmap, and we will have that spiritual productivity. In the first, the last three verses, 4, 5, and 6, it talks about the ungodly. They're not so much shorter here. I could almost close. This section talks about wind, if you will, here. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's chaff there. There's emptiness there, right? The chaff has nothing of grains in it. That's just the coating, the shell gets blown out by a fan. The chaff is worthless. The chaff is blown around by wind and it's driven away. That's the ungodly, the picture of the ungodly. Chaff, wind, and it's driven away. And so when I think of that, there's no security there. In fact, when we think of the wind, it's turmoil. We're supposed to be in a wind advisory right now. I don't know what happened to that, but at 10 o'clock, my phone said it's going to get windy. But nevertheless, when I look at this picture here, the chaff is empty. The driven part and driven away is harsh. There's no satisfaction and no comfort in this verse here. It's so much of a contrast that it's very easy to understand. So as we close here this morning, just like to have you understand that the choice is ours as we look at this contrast. The end of this ungodly person is, the last word here is perish. And so, instead of having this picture of a growing tree that's big and strong and green and doesn't wither, it has spiritual productivity, the opposite is the ungodly shall perish. There's two roads to travel on. There's two choices to make. We either choose our own way or we choose God's way. And it's our choice. And it's a blessing to have that choice. We've been given a choice. Which one will you choose? There's nothing more important in life than knowing which road you're on. When you look at the first and second verse here, first verse that talks about the ungodly and us not going that way. We know when we go down those steps downhill and get more involved in the sinner and let him influence us, and we watch those people, we know they're not on the right path. We know they're not on the right road. We know that. Which road will you be on? And so I do believe that the Bible outlines a promise for those that have chosen Christ as their Savior and have submitted to Him. And why not? Why not do that? It's not a road that's alone. It might be a narrow road, but it's not a road that you have to take by yourself. Why not choose the way to eternity with God? Why go through life alone? Come to Him and experience God's transforming power that we see in this scripture. And I don't hope I bore you from talking about contrasts, but that's how I function. Well, that's how I enjoy. And so when I look at the way of the sinner and the path that I was on, this is a joy to look at this passage of scripture and realize that there's a blessing that's a deep blessing of satisfaction for those that are choosing God's way. Will you choose His way? That's the question. And so I leave that with you this morning. If you have a question and you're not sure about the road you're on, I would really like to talk to you and help you to be on the right road. We're living in a day that I do believe that it's for real, that it's in the last days. We don't know how long those last days are, but there's a lot of things that are falling apart and going downhill. We need to choose to be on the right road. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this small psalm here, these six verses, and the simple meanings that we can glean out of here that are so big and so important. We pray, Lord, as we are meeting here this morning, that all in this room know that they're on the right road. Just bless us as we part here, and help us to be productive and be interested and delighting in your word and reading and studying it. Just ask your blessing upon each one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a song.
Before we get into our song, as Glenn was sharing there, he talked about choices, and as I was thinking about my life, thinking about